Well, welcome to Cornerstone Church's online podcast. This is Pastor Barry. Hope and pray that you will be ministered to as you listen to today's sermon.
When you get up on a Sunday morning, there's a different feel in the air. Sunday feels different than Monday or Tuesday. Sunday is sacred, and Sunday is set apart. And there's a different feeling, just like there's a different feeling on Christmas or Easter. Sunday's not Friday. So we come into this place and we've gathered in his name to worship him. And it's so exciting to see your faces, and it's so exciting to know that even though we don't know each other's names, that there's a cord that binds us together, that we all have something in common. We have Jesus in common. You love Jesus, I love Jesus. We're not strangers. We're family. We're family in this place, brothers and sisters. We've got the same Father. What unity, what harmony, what community. Community is so important. So important to belong to a community. And how sacred it is that on Sunday mornings in churches all over the world, people are gathering in his name. They're sitting in church, they're singing, they're opening the word. It's so beautiful. Sunday is beautiful. It's the best day of the week. So here we are. I want to open the word. We want to submit ourselves to the word. Ephesians 1:17 is where I'd like to start. The word is active and it's living. The word is living and it's active. And so it comes alive off the page, and it's going to do something in us today. It's going to do something in us as we read it and we let it soak into our pores. Let it change us this morning. Paul says, he's speaking to the church in Ephesus, and where I want to start is Paul says, I pray for you constantly. Isn't that awesome to know that somebody would be praying for you constantly? Can I tell you that I was really worried when my mom died? I knew that my mother prayed for me constantly. And I thought, who's going to pray for me? Who's going to be my prayer covering now that my mother's gone? Do some of you have that same fear? I'm looking at the Hayes family. I know it. We have that covering. And I also was thinking this week, there are some people on your prayer list, there are some people on my prayer list that if I'm not praying for them, they're not being prayed for because nobody is praying for them. Isn't that scary? You better keep those people at the top of your list because maybe you're the only person who's bringing their name before the Lord. It's a great responsibility. And I love it when Paul says, I pray constantly for you. I want you to know, if you're in this church, you're covered in prayer. You're covered in church by each other. Pastors are praying for you. Friends are praying for you. There's people outside the walls of the church who need prayer. They need prayer constantly. I get excited when I think about Paul praying constantly, asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and this is what he's praying for. This is what he's praying for. I'm praying for you constantly to give you spiritual wisdom and insight. Now, spiritual wisdom is different than you getting an A+ on science. This is spiritual wisdom. So I'm praying for a spiritual wisdom and insight so that you might grow in your knowledge of God. So his prayer is that you might have special wisdom, special insight, so that you're going to grow more in your knowledge of God, that you're going to get to know God better. Oh boy, we can pray that for each other. Oh God, I pray spiritual wisdom and insight that we might grow in our knowledge of God. What a great thing to know God better tomorrow than I know him today. Understand him better tomorrow than I understand him today. And he says, I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light. That makes me so excited too. What is your heart flooded with? Do you know that my heart can sometimes be flooded with fear? My heart can sometimes be flooded with worry. with anxiety. My heart can be flooded with all kinds of things. But Paul says, I pray that your heart would be flooded with light. Imagine that our hearts are full of light, not worry, not anxiety, not fear, but light. So that you can understand the confident hope he has given to those he called. We have a confident hope inside of us. He called his holy people who are his rich and glorious inheritance. And then he says, I also pray. Not only does he pray for spiritual wisdom and insight and a heart full of light, he said, I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power. I want to understand the incredible greatness. I want you to understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. Try and understand that power that entered that tomb, that resurrected Jesus Christ, that breathed life into his body, that raised him from the dead. I just want to shout it out. Lives in you. Lives in you. And Paul says, I want you to understand that. How can our minds grasp that? Now he is far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else, not only in this world, but in the world to come. God has put all things under the authority of Christ and has made him head over all things for the benefit of the church. He's the boss. He's the boss. Somebody gave me a sign many years ago and it said, Boss Lady. Boss Lady. And then when Foursquare came in, I thought, I think I better tuck this behind. If you came into my office right now, it's behind the door. Behind the door. Christ is the boss for our benefit. He's the boss for the church. He's the boss so the church can be the church. So that we can be all that he created us to be. We got the best boss in the world. And the church is his body. How's that? You sitting right here, you church, are his body. You're holy, and you're his body. It is made full and complete by Christ, who fills all things. You know what you are? You're all things. I'm all things. He fills all things everywhere with himself. I am full of him. You are full of him. Oh God, fill us to overflowing. Fill us to overflowing with your spirit. Once you were dead, did you know that once you were dead? That just, you know, takes me up a minute. He says, once you were dead. You didn't know you were dead, maybe. But you were dead. Once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins. You used to live in sin just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers in the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. There's a power that is at work in those who refuse to obey God, and that is not the power that lives in us. All of us used to live that way. Don't you just hate it when it says all of us? Because sometimes it says, all of us used to live that way. I want to say, well, me? And he says, back from heaven, yes, you. Yes, you. All of us. We all had to be born again. We all lived one way, and then we all had to be born again into another way. All of us used to live that way, following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature. At one point, our sinful nature was in charge of us. By our very nature, we were subject to God's anger, just like everyone else. And it doesn't say in brackets, except you. It's everyone else. But God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much that even though we were dead, even though we were filled with sin, even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life. He gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. When did life come to us? When Christ was resurrected from the dead, we got resurrected. It's only by God's grace that you've been saved. We got to remember that. It's nothing I did. It's not because you read your Bible every day. It's not because you prayed every night or brushed your teeth or didn't cuss or swear, stop drinking or smoking. Nothing to do with that. Oh, it's because of the grace of God. God's undeserved, unmerited favor. His favor on you. You've been saved. For he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms. Because we are united with Christ Jesus. And we say, how can I be seated in the heavenly realms? Well, is he in you and you're in him? You're in him. Where is he? He's seated in the heavenly realms. You're seated right there with him in the heavenly realms. So God can point out to us in all future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of his grace and kindness towards us. I just love the fact that God can point to you and he can say, because of my grace and my mercy, you're saved. I'm not actually. Yeah, I am. Not picking on anybody this morning, Lance. He can point at us and he can say, you're here because of my grace. And boy, do you know it. And mercy. It's the only reason. The only reason. God saved you by his grace when you believed. Not when you were good enough. He didn't save you by his grace when you measured up or when you were good enough or when you had enough stars beside your name in Sunday school. He saved you when you believed. When you said, I believe in Jesus, the Son of God. I believed he died on the cross. That day is when he saved you. That's the day he saved me. The day that I said, I'm in, I believe it. I don't necessarily understand it, but I believe it. And you can't take credit for this. It's a gift from God. You can't take any credit for the fact that he saved you. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we've done, so none of us can boast about it. For we are God's masterpiece. God made you just the way you are. You are his work. You are his work. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus. I'm so glad I'm anew. Aren't you glad you're anew? I'm so glad I'm anew. I'm glad he came and fixed it all up and cleansed it all up and poured it all in. And thank you, Jesus. He created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do good things. You know why you were created? You were created so that you can do good things. What a mission statement. I'm going to put it on my letterhead. Kathleen Gilhooly, created to do good things. Isn't that a good thing to put on your letterhead? That's why God created you, so that you could go out into this world and do some good things. And those good things he planned for us a long time ago. He had a plan for you, and he said, here's the good things that I want you to do. Oh, God, you have given us meaning, and you've given us purpose in our life. We're here to do good things. If you don't have Jesus, I wonder how you find your purpose and your meaning. I wonder how you answer that question. Why am I here? What's the meaning of life? I know why I'm here. If somebody says, well, what's the meaning of life? I'm here to do good things that God planned for me long in advance to do. And he's going to move in me, and he's going to move in me, and I'm going to hear him, and I'm going to do these good things. Now, then Paul says, now don't forget that you Gentiles used to be outsiders. Now, this is a miraculous thing that he has done. God had his people. He had the Jews. He had his nation of Israel. And then there was the Gentiles. They weren't included. We weren't included. You were called uncircumcised heathens by the Jews, who were proud of their circumcision, even though it affected only their bodies, and that their hearts gave them this measure of belonging. We are God's people, God's children. We are the circumcised. In those days, you were living apart from Christ. You were excluded from citizenship among the people of Israel. And you did not know the covenant promises God had made to them. We were outside. We didn't have any understanding of these things. You lived in this world without God and without hope. But now, because of Jesus, you have been united with Christ Jesus. And once you were far away from God, but now You have been brought near to him through the blood of Christ. The doors open to the Gentile people. And we got to come in and be close to God, be part of his family because of Jesus. Jesus is the door that opened for us. For Christ himself has brought peace to us. The day that you surrendered, there's a peace that came to you that you had. Whenever somebody I'm with and they accept Jesus, they say, I feel like a burden has been lifted. I feel lighter. I feel peace. I've never felt this peace before. When God's Spirit indwells you, he brings with him peace. He united Jews and Gentiles into one people when in his own body on the cross, he broke down the wall of hostility that separated us. There are no longer Jew and Gentile. There are no longer Jew and Gentile. We are one in him. I think Barry mentioned it the other day. If God can break down the division between Jew and Gentile, he can, joining this church together, nothing to him. Nothing to him. He can make us one. He did this by ending the system of law. Remember, there was a big system of law that was over the Jewish people with its commandments and its regulations. And he made peace between Jew and Gentile by creating in himself one new people from the two groups. There's just one people, God's children. Together as one body, Christ reconciled both groups to God by means of his death on the cross. And our hostility towards each other was put to death. Not two people. One person. He brought this good news of peace to you Gentiles who were far away from him, and peace to the Jews who were near. Everybody's the same distance. There's nobody's closer. Now all of us can come to the Father through the same Holy Spirit because of what Christ has done. Now we know that. We have access to the Father because of Christ Jesus. So now you Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are citizens along with all of God's holy people. You are members of God's family. See, we're family. All of us are family. God's family. Together, we are his house. We're a house. Together, we make a house. Built on the foundation of the prophets and the apostles and the prophets. And here we go. And the cornerstone. Isn't that good? Isn't that a good name to name a church? And the cornerstone, I wonder whose idea that was. And the cornerstone is Christ Jesus himself. It's him. He's the cornerstone. No pastor, nobody else. Jesus is the cornerstone of the house. And he's the builder of the house. We are carefully joined together in him, becoming a holy temple. We are a holy temple. We are a house. We are the place where God dwells. And a cornerstone is Christ Jesus. We are sitting in the right place this morning. There's a lot of places you could be sitting this morning. You're sitting in God's house. We are God's house. Through him, you Gentiles are also being made part of the dwelling where God lives by his Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. And then Paul says, when I think of all this, I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus for the benefit of you Gentiles, assuming, by the way, that you know God, gave me the special responsibility of extending his grace to you Gentiles. So Paul, God specifically, Paul who persecuted the church, Paul who went after Christians and was bound and determined to have them killed and have them imprisoned. He gave him a special responsibility to spread the word to the Gentiles that they were God's. As I briefly wrote earlier, God himself revealed this mysterious plan to me. As you read what I have written, you will understand my insight into this plan regarding Christ. God did not reveal it to previous generations, but now by his Spirit, he has revealed it to his holy apostles and prophets. There's a plan that's coming. And this is God's plan. We're sitting here today, and the word says, here's God's plan. Gee, I wonder what God's got planned. Hey, it's right here. He said, here's my plan. Both Gentiles and Jews who believe the good news share equally in the riches inherited by God's children. That was my plan, to make one people. Both are part of the same body, and both enjoy the promise of blessings because they belong to Christ Jesus. By God's grace and mighty power, I have been given the privilege of serving him by spreading the good news. Though I am the least deserving of all God's people, he recognizes that he too is a sinner. He too was on the wrong path. Then he hit that Damascus road and things started to make sense. He graciously gave me the privilege of telling the Gentiles about the endless treasures available to them in Christ. There are endless treasures that are available to you in Christ. I was chosen to explain to everyone this mysterious plan that God, the creator of all things, had kept secret from the beginning. And this wasn't clear, but now the secret has been revealed. God's purpose in all of this was to use the church. You think the church matters to God? Church matters to God. Church is important to God. God's purpose in all of this was to use the church to display his wisdom in its rich variety to all the unseen rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. Did you know that the church preaches? The church preaches. It sends a message. It sends a message to all the unseen powers and authorities. The church and what we do matters. The church and what we do makes a difference. This was his eternal plan, which he carried out through Christ Jesus our Lord. Because of Christ and our faith in him, we can now come boldly and confidently into God's presence. In and of myself, I don't have anything that could allow me to come into God's presence, but when I am covered by Jesus Christ, I can come boldly into God's presence. So please don't lose heart because of my trials here, as they're looking at Paul, who's preaching this word from chains. I'm suffering for you, so you should feel honored. This is part of my life service to God. Now, if you go back to chapter 3, verse 1, he says, when I think of all this, and then he goes off on a rabbit trail. I am not the only person who does rabbit trails. Right now I'm saying that. If Paul can do a rabbit trail, because right here in verse 1, he says, when I think of all this, and he goes on a big rabbit trail, then he gets down to verse 14, he says, when I think of all this. Because now he's getting to what he's thinking about. When I think of all this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father. Have you guys had a thought? Have you guys been somewhere sometime? Has God touched you sometime when all that you can do is fall to your knees? Have you had that encounter with him where he has so profoundly done something and you are left without words and all you can do is fall on your knees? That's what happened to Paul. When I think of all this that God has done, when I think what he's done, making one nation, one people, when I think of the sacrifice of his, I just fall on my knees. He says, when I think of all this, I fall to my knees and I pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. And he says, I pray. This is all about his prayers. We start into verse 17. He said, I pray this and I pray that and I pray this and I pray that. I want to know what he's praying. And I want to pray the same thing that he's praying. And I want you to know what he's praying. And I want you to pray what he's praying. So we can get in our Bibles, and everywhere that Paul says, I pray, you can say, I pray. I pray that too. I pray that on me. I pray that on you. I pray that on this church. I pray that on my neighbor. I pray that on the person that nobody else is praying for. I pray this prayer. We want to write this down. Everywhere he says, I pray, you write down, I pray that too. I pray that too. You can write, me too. Arrow, me too. I pray that too. I pray that too. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, the resources of God, they don't run out when they get to you. Sometimes we think he's on vacation. His resources ran out when he came to me. You know what it says here? He has unlimited resources. There is enough for you. It's not going to run out when he gets to you. Unlimited resources, he says, he will. I pray that he will empower you with inner strength through his spirit. I pray that you have inner strength in your spirit. His strength, not your strength. Your strength is going to run out. My strength is going to run out. But you know what? I pray for you. Inner strength that comes from him. In life, we need inner strength. You might be in a season right now where you need inner strength. Your strength has long gone. I watched my mom. She came back to her faith. She came back to her faith in her latter years. And my mom was frail and she was little. I could put my hands around her ankles. My mom fought through polio, diabetes, breast cancer. She fell and broke a hip. She broke her femur. They said, when my mom had polio, they said, you are never going to walk. And she said, I've walked all my life. I'm going to keep on walking. And she walked. She walked. And she broke her femur. And they said, you know, when you're 93 and you break your femur, you're not going to walk again. She said, I've been walking all my life. I'm going to walk again. And she did. And my mom was growing frail. She weighed 80 pounds. She was growing frail and she was growing weak on the outside. But I'm telling you, inside that woman was an inner strength that came from Jesus Christ that made her stand up. That strength, not hers. She didn't have anything left. What she had was the power of Jesus Christ. And she was getting frail on the outside and she was as tough as nails on the inside because of Jesus. I need that kind of inner strength. That's what I want. I pray his inner strength in you so that no matter what this world brings you, and it's going to bring you some tough stuff. Can all the Lord's people say amen? Have you experienced some of that tough stuff? He can bring you an inner strength that is tougher than that. Tougher than any battle that you can go through. Then, so when we have that inner strength, then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust him. You know who I want living in my heart? I want Christ Jesus living in my heart. I don't want fear living in my heart, anxiety living in my heart. I don't need any of that living in my heart. I want Jesus living in my heart. As you trust him, I trust in God, my Savior, the one who has never failed me. Your roots will grow down into God's love. That's where my roots are. Down into God's love and keep you strong. You know what's going to keep you strong? God's love. God's love is going to keep you strong. Your roots going down into his love. When you really understand how much he loves you, you're going to be so strong, nothing will shake you. Nothing. That's what we pray. That's what we pray. I pray that for you. You pray that for me. This church pray it for each other. Your roots go down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep is his love. We have to really get that. There was a theologian, I can't even remember his name right now, a great theologian, and he made the announcement that he was going to seclude himself. He was going to take a time away from the world, and he was going to shut the doors to the world, and he was going to seek God, and he was going to get a deep revelation. And the people waited for him to come out, and they knew he was going to write a book, and he had secluded himself, and he had prayed, and he was already so versed in the knowledge of God. And the doors of his seclusion opened, and people were saying, what did you discover in your time away? And he said, Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. We have to discover that over and over. He says, may you experience the love of Christ, though it's too great to understand fully. Okay, this love that I'm talking about, this love that God talks about, we can't understand it up here. It says you can't understand it. You can't understand it fully. He said, I pray that you can experience, may you experience. And we don't run off looking for a spiritual experience. But you know what he's saying? There is an experience that you can have inside of you that will demonstrate to you God's love. Because I can say to you, oh, God loves you. Oh, God loves you. God loves, and you go, God loves me. But do you know what I'm saying? There's a difference between me saying, oh, God loves you, and you saying, yes, I know God loves you, and you really knowing and building your life on the fact that God loves you. I was speaking to somebody after the last time I preached, and I was telling you about how I entered prison ministry and how I had met this young man who had taken the life of his girlfriend and how his life came undone, and he had accepted Satan as his Lord and Savior, and it had unraveled his life, of course. And the Lord called me to minister to him and Because, you know, I made the big promise. Remember I told you about that? You know, I'll go anywhere you want me to go, Lord. I'll see anybody you want me to see. And then I went to jail. And I met with this young man who had taken life of a human being. But I had promised God that I would go. So I went. And I was really uncomfortable going. And I sat with this young man. And one of these things was not like the other. And I didn't understand the whole thing, but he needed to confess to somebody, so he confessed to me. And I was listening, and I was on the phone, and he was on the other side, and we were on the phone, and what I wanted to go was, I wanted to do this. I didn't want to hear this stuff. And he confessed to me this horrible thing, and I got into my car as I was going home, and it was raining, and it was dark, and I was so sad, and I said, God, I don't kill bugs. I know that sounds weird, but that was the first thought that came into my mind. Because if a bug comes into my house, I don't like bugs, but, you know, I usually get a paper and I scrape them up. And then I take them outside and go, bless you, but get out of my house. So I'm saying to God, why out of all people would you pick a non-bug-killing person to go to jail to do this? And I was just upset, and I wished I hadn't heard things in my head. And the next day I got up and I was still troubled and I was in my prayer chair and I was having this conversation about bugs and stuff with God. I was saying, God, I don't understand why you called me. I don't understand what would be in a person that would make them do this, that they could hurt another human being. And I am telling you, it's as real to me right now as it was that day many, many years ago. The love of God poured, it came right through the ceiling of my house. The love of God poured through the ceiling of my house. And it poured through the top of my head. And I was filled with the love of God for this young man who could do such a thing. I was filled with love for him. And do you know what I realized in that moment? And I know it sounds really selfish, but I thought, wow, God, if you love him like that, you love me. Do you hear what I'm saying? That's the kind of love I'm talking about. I was overcome, and I said, God, you love him. It was like, you love this young person. And all he kept saying was, yes, yes, I do. And I was, but he accepted Satan as his Lord and Savior. And God said, I love him. I love him. And if he loves him, he loves you. He loves you. And you can name all the things that you've done or said, but I did this and I did that. And you know what he says? I know that. I know that, and I love you. Can you really get that today? Can you really get that deep that he loves you? He's taken all of your sins and all of the things that you did. You don't own them anymore. They're not yours. They're not on you. They're on his son. And he loves you. That kind of love. May you experience the love of Christ, though it's too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power. Once you really understand God's love for you, you will be complete. There's nothing that is going to shake your world. There is nothing that can take you down. You will stand in any storm because you will have an inner strength and an inner power in you that will not shake. It won't shake. It'll keep you strong in any storm. That's why it's so important that we understand these chapters and that we pray this prayer. This could be a prayer that you start every prayer time with. Because we must be strong. This world is going to come hard against us. And it is nothing. It won't get one step when we stand in that inner strength. It's not going to move me. It's not going to move you. The storms of this world are not going to move us. Because there's an inner strength inside of us. And his name is Jesus. Then we're complete. I'm full. I don't need anything else. That's what I need. I just need that love of God. Understanding how deeply he loves me. Then he says, now all glory to God. Not glory to me because I'm standing. Not glory to you because you're standing. All glory to God. When I stand in the storm, who gets glory? God does. When you stand in the storm, who gets glory? God does. Not glory for us. Glory for him. All glory to God who is able through his mighty power at work within us. He's at work within you. His mighty power is at work within you to accomplish infinitely. To accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. I can think as how big is your ask? No matter how big your ask is, infinitely more than that. Infinitely more. Or it says even more than you think. I can think of some really big things. Can you guys think of some really big things? I can think of some really big things. He's at work in us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. You can go to the very end of the biggest think that you can have. And he said, I can do more than that. I can do more than that. I can do more than that. More than you think. More than you think. Glory to him in the church. Glory to him in this church. We don't want glory on us. We want glory to him in this church. We give you glory, God, for what you're doing in this church. We give you glory, God, for what you're doing in our lives. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Oh, let's take, you have homework? There's some homework. So we're going to take the word of God and we're going to open it up when we go home before we go to bed tonight. And we're going to start at 1:17 and anywhere that Paul says, I pray, I want you to write down that prayer. And I want you to pray it on you. I want you to pray it for you. I want you to pray it for your family. Nobody's going to stand a chance. Nobody's going to stand a chance against that. These are Paul's prayers and he prayed them and they're our prayers. And we're going to pray them. And we are going to be so strong inside, so strong, so complete, so full that this world won't stand a chance against his church. And all the Lord's people said, amen, amen. So I'd like the worship team to come on back and close off with a worship song. Is there anywhere you'd rather be this morning than in the house of the Lord? Did you make a good choice this morning? I think you did. I know I did. But every Sunday we want to give everyone an opportunity to invite Jesus Christ into your life as your Lord and Savior. Oh, we've worshiped him in song, and we've heard the word of God. And it's good for us to close our time together with a prayer to invite the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, into our life so that he might fill us full of his love. Oh God, fill us full of your love. Full of your life. Fill us full of your life. God, fill us full of your light. That we might make a difference in a world that is often dark and unyielding to the ways of God. This world isn't going to yield to the ways of God, but we are not going to yield to the ways of the world. You may have invited Jesus into your life many years ago, Or maybe you are brand new to the faith walk and have never had an opportunity to pray and ask him to come and to live in your heart. No matter what the circumstance, it is always good for us to dedicate for the first time or rededicate ourselves to Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, and our King. Whatever the case may be, let's stand together and pray after me these words of confession. Oh, it's good that we confess. These words of confession, these words of surrender, these words of love, these words of hope. I want you to say it aloud after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner, and I know I need a Savior, and I know his name is Jesus. And I believe that he died on the cross for the forgiveness of my sins. So I ask you now, forgive me for all of my sins. Come into my life. Be my Lord, my Savior, and my King. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Give me your wisdom and direction. And lead me in the way everlasting. We love you, Jesus. We willingly surrender our lives to you now. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Amen. Bless your church.
Thank you for joining us for today's edition of Cornerstone Church's online podcast. May God continue to richly bless you and lead you as we follow Jesus together.